Welcome everybody back to the Gaming Careers Podcast. It has been a couple of weeks actually, so we've got plenty of news to go through today. If you haven't yet been at the Gaming Careers Podcast, this is your first time joining. This is a show where we talk about all kinds of Twitch and industry streaming news. We've got a lot of Twitch stuff to talk about today. Not all bad, but mostly complaints, I would say. But yeah, welcome to the show. We've got so many people already that we can see in chat. So hello to Heed, SE, Bob, Octolicia, Vidi, Matt Chills. Hopefully I haven't butchered too many names there. But welcome to everybody, listeners that are new and old. This obviously is a live show, so get your opinions into chat about the topics that we'll be talking about. And we'll try and bring in some comments as we go through. But plenty to talk about today. Twitch's hate raid problem, some of the community built solutions to help you deal with that. We'll also be covering Discord's competitor Guilded getting acquired by Roblox, as well as some new Twitch updates on how you can automatically manage your VODs and clips. But first of all, let's speak to our co-host across the ocean. Ben, how are you? How was your week?
Good, man. It was it's been crazy. I know we've only been gone 2 weeks, but I feel like a lot has happened lately. I actually had a front page Twitch spot since we've last met, so
that's true.
Pretty nuts.
Yeah, tell us a little bit about that. I forgot to write that down in our notes, but I did see some pretty juicy screenshots from your time on Twitch.
Yeah, I mean, it was insane. It was the biggest stream I've ever done to date, in partnership with Lenovo and Intel. It was like we peaked at 45,000 concurrent viewers and over 1 million views of the event, so just mind-boggling with how big that was. So I'd love to talk about it a little bit more, but yeah, it was definitely a milestone for us. And I know you had your own video come out as well over the past week, so both sides of milestones here.
Yeah, I don't think that quite compares to hitting those kind of numbers, but it is always interesting how much the front page buff gives you on Twitch. But yeah, that must have been exciting. It was weird for me, like, seeing this view that we get of you now, like, in your studio, but with tens of thousands of viewers. So really exciting. My week hasn't been anywhere near as interesting, I don't think. This weekend I went to my great aunt's 90th birthday, which I'm sure you can imagine was an absolute hoot. And then I ran a half marathon on Sunday. So I had like a very wholesome weekend, I would say. It was nice overall. But yeah, quite a lot to talk about on Twitch. I think the main topic, and obviously the title of this video, the thing that we're going to spend the majority of the show talking about, is the hate raids that have been going on. And I know that this isn't necessarily that new. It's sort of been going on, I think, over the last sort of 4 weeks, but really has become more prevalent, or maybe it's just because the awareness has grown of it, and people like me and you, who maybe don't deal with this as much as other marginalized communities do, it's become more apparent to us. So it has to be talked about. So I think we just dive straight in with our first topic. I'll bring up the screen share here because Twitch has shared some tweets on this, and I don't know how much you've been following this, but the first tweet that we've got from Twitch is basically explaining the situation a little bit, that they've seen what's been going on, these users and bots raiding channels and harassing with sort of copy paste text to try and get a reaction really out of creators. And it's been an issue, like I said, for a few weeks now, and really the solutions that Twitch have so far talked about are pretty non-existent. There are some community solutions which we're going to get on to as well, but just from 1,000 feet, what's your initial reaction on all of this stuff, Ben?
Well, obviously it's not good is the quick way to put it. I do quickly want to explain what this is for some people who may not know what a hate raid is. Essentially, what's happening is a lot of bot accounts are coming into these marginalized communities on Twitch and just sort of flooding the chat with hateful messages around race and, you know, gender and whatever term that they can categorize, just completely drowning the chat with these messages. And so a lot of streamers are just getting overwhelmed by how sudden this is and the scale of it, because it's hundreds of accounts. Obviously, you can't go through and one by one ban accounts when there's this many happening all at once. And this has really been ramping up in the past couple of weeks. So this is what we're talking about. At a surface view, obviously, I mean, I don't think anyone really disagrees that this is pretty awful that's happening on Twitch. This has happened for years at this point, but I think we're seeing kind of a crest of it right now for whatever reason. I think coming out of some of the months that we had this year, as well as the new tags on Twitch around whether it's your gender, or your race, they added those recently. And there was the fear originally that that would lead to more hate. You've seen a little bit of that recently. Didn't happen at first, but maybe now people are finding those kind of things and using those to target creators. But overall, the response from Twitch has not been great so far from what we've seen. And I've got a couple of things to go through here as we go through this discussion.
Yeah, I think let's first of all look at what Twitch has said, because they have a live stream, one of their live streams that they do called Public Access, which I think is much more community driven. So these people aren't necessarily people that work at Twitch in any means, but they do address it in this stream. So I wanted to sort of create a clip and highlight it. The discussion goes on for maybe a minute or so, but I think it's useful to hear at least Twitch's facing stance on this and maybe some community members that also aren't pleased. So hopefully this plays through the audio.
What you construct in real time while we do the stream.
Yeah, absolutely.
Cool. So we have a show, but before we get to said show, I do think it's very important to tell you why we do this at all. This show is about you and it's for you. And when the community team makes events like Podcast Month or Art Month, we're hoping to give you credit for your hard work and highlight the incredible things that you do. But right now it's hard to celebrate. And that's because of the concerns creators rightfully have about harassment on the platform. So about a week ago, we shared that we had been working on channel level ban evasion detection and account verification improvements, which have been in the works for several months, and that they would be available to you soon. Since then, we've been working hard to address, but there has been a lack of updates. That is obvious. And that has been very frustrating for everyone, especially the marginalized creators and their communities that are most impacted by what's going on. Your voices are important and you deserve to be heard and feel safe on Twitch, period.
I think we'll pause it there and discuss. Could you hear that, Ben? I can't remember if I said my... Okay, you could hear. Yep. You could hear through my audio. Good. So like Twitch is clearly aware of this being a problem. They've talked about a couple of solutions that they've been building for the past month in terms of better verification of accounts. This is a problem that all platforms face. Like, we have it on Discord. At the moment, there seems to be attacks of large groups joining Discord servers and mass DMing members of that Discord with, you know, come join this Discord or cryptocurrency scams or all the kinds of things. And you can try and increase the level of moderation or the requirement to join a Discord server. Like, I think the highest one means that the person has to have a mobile phone number linked to their Discord account. And I imagine that's the same route that Twitch is going down now with their ideas for account verification, essentially, because that's what they want to do. They want to make it harder for these bot accounts to sign up for an account, because if they make that process harder, then hopefully these people will lose interest and stop harassing their streamers. But clearly it's not enough, and these seem to be, you know, small solutions that aren't helping. They've also suggested that people go on and try and add words to their banned word list. But I'll bring up a tweet here now, which basically, if I keep it muted, this Twitter account, Art for the Apocalypse, has written a script basically going through the word jogger as an example and showing how many examples of variations of that word, if you are using like the Greek alphabet, you can get to. So you can add accents to basically any letter. And because these accented versions of letters work on Twitch, there's 21 million different variations of how you can write the word jogger. And it's still obviously apparent to the streamer what the word is meant to be. So there's no way of you adding 21 million words to your blocked word list on Twitch. If you can hear some shaking, that's just my dog scratching. But there's no process for that, right? You can't add 21 million words to your blocked word list. I don't think you can even add words in bulk right now. Like, they have to be done individually. So that as a solution just doesn't matter. Like, there's enough variations of the words that people are spamming in chat that there's no way of being able to ban all of them. So I guess what do you actually think Twitch can do in this stance?
Yeah, I think that's important, because I'm seeing a lot of people talking about, there's the whole hashtag trending, like, do better Twitch, which I think is fair to get some awareness around this, but I think there's also a lot of people just saying fix it and not necessarily offering a solution, which I think, again, it's fair to criticize Twitch and ultimately it's their responsibility, but we can at least try and offer some solutions in the meantime as well. Because the big thing they've said is there's not a quick fix for it. And so it almost sounds like they don't know what to do to an extent. But yeah, I saw one of the things, somebody in chat was mentioning, can't you just ban words? And you, like you mentioned here, there's just so many variations of that one word that trying to get all the words out there for that would be impossible at a user level. Maybe at the Twitch level, they could do something like that. I don't really know how long it would take to ban that those words globally, but maybe that would work. I've seen a couple other suggestions come out though from other people, things like just basically making the signup process harder. So the caps you have to go through to sign up an account, the IP address you register when you create an account, setting limits on those things, as well as having just limits on like how many accounts you can create at a time, things like that. I think what's interesting to me is that we're seeing this on Twitch, but like you said, it's for other platforms too. So Discord, YouTube. So like, why do you think we're seeing so much on Twitch specifically? We don't really hear about this for YouTube. Discord a little bit, but YouTube, I never hear about this happening on YouTube live streams as far as I know.
Well, I think this whole problem has been amplified by the raid function on Twitch. So the whole premise, I think, behind these troll accounts is that they can all of a sudden arrive at somebody's live stream and create a problem because you get 100 people all of a sudden spamming the same message, and moderators, you know, especially smaller channels, might only have one moderator or might only have the streamer as the moderator, and there's no way that you can go through and ban all of these users or ban all these variations of a word quickly. So I think that's maybe why we're seeing it as more of a problem on Twitch versus a problem on Discord and other platforms. Twitch really is the only person that I think that can build a tool that will really help prevent this. And whether that's mass adding, I feel like mass adding words to a banned list is just that these people, these trolls are smart enough to be able to work out new ways of offending somebody. Like, it has to be done at the user account level. And like, is it really that big of a problem if everybody has to have a mobile phone number to have a Twitch account? Like, I understand that people don't want to give phone numbers to Twitch, but there has to be some level of verification here to be able to make sure that there is, you know, some way of linking an account to person. I've seen like comments in chat as well about like hate is nothing new on the internet, but I feel it's very easy for me and you to sit here and say like hate is nothing new and you just have to have thick skin. But I've got to be honest, I've never been subject to an attack like this, so I have no idea like how it would affect me, and I don't think I would deal with it particularly well. So you've got to be thinking about these creators that are being attacked, and it's happening every stream and to small streamers and large streamers, and maybe the biggest streamers on the platforms don't necessarily see it because their chats are moving so quickly anyway. But certainly it's affecting partners right down to affiliates and new streamers. So it needs to be talked about and needs to be addressed by Twitch. It's been sort of covered in more major news, like both PC Gamer and The Verge have articles on this about how creators are planning this hashtag a day off Twitch. Basically, there's a lot of people saying that the only way they can get Twitch's attention is if they, you know, affect the bottom line. And how can you affect the bottom line? By stop watching or creating on Twitch. So there's been a few hashtags that have trended sort of over the past month. A day off Twitch is one, and Twitch do better is another. And they both got on quite a lot of traction. So it's clear that Twitch is aware of this as a problem and needs to address it somehow. And I do sympathize with engineers at Twitch, because when something like this happens and it sort of takes over the platform, you've got to react quickly. But at the same time, you've got to react in a way where, you know, it's not just going to be easily circumvented, because that's going to create even more hysteria and you know, people slating Twitch because they've tried to band-aid a solution. So you've got to like try and create the best solution you can with such a short time frame, where probably all of your colleagues are asking you, you know, what's the latest on this? We need to get this sorted as soon as possible. So yeah, it's a difficult situation for them to be in.
Yeah, I definitely agree. And there are, like, even seeing that clip, I've seen some Twitch staff kind of come out and say, yeah, we're working on it. The problem is we haven't seen a lot of actual concrete solutions. There's a lot of tweeting about, we're working on it. You know, we're even in the clip, they said, hey, like we really are working, which was kind of an interesting clip. But we don't know really what's happening or how long this stuff will take to come out. So it's hard to know how long we have to wait for that. Luckily, the community has come out with their own solutions, which have been pretty helpful. A lot of stuff that's already built into Twitch and just making guides on how to combat this stuff. So things like people in chat have said, like turning on follower mode, turning on even like subscriber mode, stuff like that, if you really need to help gate that kind of stuff when it happens, as well as using some mod tools. I think there's even like a panic button that we have here that people have created to kind of hit one button and deal with it all at once. I don't know if you want to talk about that a little bit here.
Yeah, let's mention that. This idea behind a panic button has been pretty interesting. So what it is effectively is an idea that you can build into your Stream Deck or into Touch Portal or Leon Board. Touch Portal and Leon Board both have like free versions, so it's not exclusive to people that have bought a Stream Deck. But essentially create a panic button, like a one click button, which does multiple actions like setting your chat to follower only mode, clearing the last 3 or 5 minutes of chat, even setting it to subscriber only mode if you know these accounts are following your account as well, and then turning off alerts from Streamlabs or Stream Elements. Like there's multiple different steps that people have talked about that you can, you know, create a multi-action or whatever Touch Portal or Leon Board calls them, but essentially one button press that does a lot of different things that hopefully sorts out your channel, and then you can re-enable all the normal chat once these trolls have realized that they can't actually chat to you unless they subscribe. And even then, you know, you're blocking the alerts and text-to-speech and things like that. So that's a really great idea. There's actually a website I think I saw on this page here. Am I not sharing it? No, I'm not. So hateraidresponse.card.co. I'll leave it linked in the show notes once we've finished the pod. But it sort of talks you through the guide of how you can set these up for Touch Portal, your onboard, and what kind of tools you need. But yeah, it's a problem that I think will affect all the different platforms, not just Twitch, but Twitch, as it always is in the limelight of these things, and the trolls are clearly not slowing down. And yeah, there was a good point in chat saying, doesn't a day off Twitch just mean that the trolls are winning? Like, isn't that exactly what they want, is to try and stop streamers from streaming on the platform? I think the idea behind that is that the streamers want Twitch to realize how big of a problem this is, and the only way to do that is to actually affect their bottom line rather than just, you know, Twitter threads and things like that.
Yeah, I've seen some clips going out of streamers reacting to this happening, and there's obviously a range of reactions from people. Some people kind of shut down and stop streaming, which is usually the goal of this kind of thing. And then some people turn around and try and just make fun of people coming in. So obviously, like, it's a very emotional thing when it happens, but you have to wonder what the best kind of response like that is. To your point, we want to get Twitch aware of this thing happening, so we have to talk about it somewhat. But I can't help but feel like the best response, if you can do it, is to set up this kind of panic button type thing and just remove it and not even talk about it, right? Because if you can give no reaction at all to what's happening, then you kind of kill the motivation of someone to even do that. Because yes, you could turn around and make fun of that, but that's also reaction in a way. So I think it could be kind of dangerous to kind of turn that around and then invite them to do it again, and that would keep happening. So I do want to say, we've said before in the show, we're two white dudes talking on this show. So we don't want to speak for these communities that we don't have this type of thing happen to us as much, but obviously very important to cover, and something that the entire Twitch and streaming community has to be aware of and fighting for.
More good points being made in chat about, you know, putting on follower only mode or subscriber only mode does hurt your own growth. And that's completely true. You're weighing up here essentially, you know, what's going to be more hurtful, somebody arriving in your chat and seeing loads of hateful spam being spammed versus not being able to talk for a few minutes until they find somebody else to go and raid. So yeah, this panic button idea is a good solution that the community have helped build, but it's certainly not ideal. There are negatives to it, and one of those is that you are hurting your community. You know, you'll probably have plenty of people in your community who follow you but don't subscribe, and if you're putting subscribe only mode, they can't chat whilst this is going on. So we're going to follow this pretty closely, I think. I would be very surprised if this isn't talked about again next week and Twitch hasn't addressed it in some way and hopefully built a few features around it. I imagine they're banning like crazy all these accounts, but it's just too easy for these trolls or bots to create new accounts and start the spam again. So yeah, if you see this, I guess report the accounts. Think about setting up a multi-action on your Stream Deck or Touch Portal or the Yawn board, and talking about it on Twitter, I think is a good thing to do. There is no chance that Twitch isn't looking at the volume of people speaking with these hashtags of Twitch do better. So hopefully if enough of a fuss keeps getting made about it, Twitch are going to be working on it. Anything else to add, Ben, or do you want to move on to the next topic?
Only thing I'd say is let us know if you guys are being affected by this stuff for sure, to give us some real life case studies. One thing I just saw like an hour before the show was it seemed like somebody had actually gotten banned because of these messages coming in. And there's the whole thing on Twitch about you're responsible for your chat. But obviously, if this thing is happening, how are you supposed to, especially for new streamers, how are you supposed to react to this kind of thing? So I don't know if this is going to get reverted quickly, but just be aware. And if you know someone who's been affected by that, let us know, because we'd love to look into it a little bit more and kind of report back on it next week.
Yeah, I mean, that can't be happening. You can't be getting banned for people raiding your own chat. All right, let's move on to probably the most surprising news that we saw in the last week or 10 days. And we haven't really covered Guilded that much. But for those of you that don't know, Guilded, I think the website is guilded.gg. It's a competitor to Discord. We've talked a lot about how Discord has a bit of a monopoly, especially when we're talking about the gaming side of things versus like business channels like Slack or Teams. Guilded looks like Discord. The idea behind it is very similar to Discord. It's, I think, a little bit more esports or gaming driven, whereas Discord is trying to open its doors to more communities. Guilded is like really doubling down on gaming communities and setting up events and things like that. But it's been acquired by Roblox. And Roblox, for those of you that don't know, is like, I guess, a similar sort of Minecraft game. But certainly a lot of money has changed hands in this deal. And it's worth paying attention to, because when a competing platform gets acquired for a lot of money, we're going to see it pushed very hard. And my guess is that this is going to become a more legitimate competitor to Discord over the coming months and years. So Ben, have you yet downloaded guilded.gg to see what it's all about? Or are we still looking at this from a bit of a distance?
I tested Guilded like a year ago or something. It was a while ago. And it felt a lot like Discord. It had some more features and it kind of integrated with Discord at this point, or at that point. So I think it may have moved away from building on Discord and now it is trying to be more of a competitor. But this news is interesting to me because it was acquired by a game, essentially, right? So you think about Discord and Guilded. There's servers for everything out there, right? Not just Roblox. I mean, there's got to be a League server and Overwatch and Valorant and Warzone. So what happens to all these communities that are not for Roblox as they go on? They said in the article that nothing will really change and they're going to operate independently. But still, the fact that they're being picked up by an individual specific game and not just a studio is really interesting to me. So I don't know how that'll change the future of the platform.
Yeah, that's a really good point. They're going to have to keep, they can't possibly make this like a Discord competitor solely for Roblox. Like, that's just not going to go anywhere. It needs to be bigger than that. I think they've probably got a bit more of a vision as to what they want to build this out to be. And like Discord, I don't know if it's profitable right now, but we saw earlier in the year that Microsoft wanted to acquire it for $10 billion or something crazy. So there's clearly a lot of value in building up communities on these platforms, and that's what Roblox have seen. I saw a message in chat saying, is this a sponsored bit? Absolutely not. We're not at the point where we're taking requests to talk about things for sponsorship, unfortunately, maybe, but we would always disclose that. No, this is just something that we thought was interesting to talk about, because whenever any of these platforms sees investment, we're going to see it become a more legitimate competitor. And there's no chance that Discord isn't reading this news and thinking, okay, Guilded has some serious investment behind it now. What are they going to do with that money? They're going to try and take our user base effectively. So I thought it was interesting enough to talk about. There was a couple of news articles as well. It got into TechCrunch. If you want to dive into a bit more of the numbers behind it, they actually haven't got a exact number as to how much the acquisition was. But it's still, I thought, interesting enough to talk about. But people really want to know about updates that have happened on the Twitch platform. So let's talk about that. And I'll go straight into it. There's been a couple of new settings. I'm just looking across my Twitch dashboard now to make sure I'm not leaking anything sensitive. Stream key is hidden, thankfully. But two new features added to Twitch dashboard. And Ben, whilst I'm talking about this, could you quickly check for me if you also have these new moderation settings? or not moderation settings, but VOD and clip settings, because I want to know if they're rolled out site-wide or if it's just for partners first and then affiliates afterwards. But the two new settings are effectively the ability to have your VODs not automatically be published. So you can uncheck this option here and your VODs will be will remain unpublished by default, effectively. Similar to how you can do that on YouTube with these live streams, I do that so that the VOD doesn't get pushed out to all my subscribers straight after. And this is obviously also helpful for people that want to check their content for any copyright issues straight away and they don't want the VOD link public straight away. And the second one is some clip settings. So you can actually exclude the ability to clip your channel when you're streaming in a certain category. Now, I'm trying to think of good use examples for this or use cases. And obviously the meme in my head is thinking about the beaches and hot tubs category, and maybe people don't want to be clipped when they're in that. But it's interesting that Twitch are pushing out more features and more ways to customize how your channel works in terms of VODs and clips. So Ben, I've talked for enough time for you to go diving into your dashboard and seeing if you have this also. What's the result?
Yeah, I do. Okay. I do have both of these features on my dashboard as well. So it seems like it's rolled out globally because this I'm checking on a non-partner channel right now and I do have it. So it's really interesting. Like you said, the VOD thing makes sense, being able to unpublish VODs automatically. Although, as we've said, that doesn't actually help you with DMCA necessarily because the live broadcast still happens. So don't think that's a band-aid for being able to use copyright-free music. The clips thing is also interesting because, to your point, I'm kind of wondering, when would you not want to let people clip your stuff? And like you said, it could be those beaches categories. The other thing that's really interesting to me is you can actually set it so that only subscribers can clip your content, which is theoretically a subscriber perk, but also I don't really know, is that going to be that valuable? Interesting. I think it's good to have options either way, but I'm just curious what the use case for the clips one specifically would be.
Yeah, that is interesting. I hadn't scrolled down, so I hadn't seen that feature. I think if this became a massive problem somehow, like all Twitch partners were putting their channels in subscribers can only subscribers can clip mode, then there would just become a rival service that allowed you to clip, like create little VODs of little videos from Twitch streamers. It's like an interesting feature, and there must be a use case. They wouldn't just build this without there being a use case. But I am racking my brains as to think why would there be no clips. There's a couple of people in chat saying maybe for like music channels, no clips for DMCA stuff. But like Ben mentioned, these DMCA workarounds, they don't really exist because we know that the agencies are scanning live streams now. They're not just looking at VODs and clips. So maybe it is a little bit of that, but yeah. Any other ideas in chat would be useful.
I feel like this is probably a response to just the file from earlier this year, because I know when DMCA was really kind of first hitting this year, people were trying to delete all their stuff, and clips was a piece of that because a lot of people had clipped stuff and didn't have a way to mass delete clips. So I'm guessing this is just like an absolute safety measure to just block any recorded content from being on your channel at all. If maybe you do have live licenses, but not the licenses to store the past broadcast stuff, I guess that makes sense. I think it's a pretty niche case. And again, as long as you're just using safe music, you shouldn't really have to worry about these. But I guess it's good to have the tools, like we said, in case you're really worried about it or you have a specific license.
Do you think that's a use case for adding an extra benefit to subscribers? Like, you can be the person that puts the effort into clipping my channel. Like, that seems to me like something that people don't want to do. Never mind a perk.
The thing is, you can, like, if you really want to get a clip, like, if you think of, there's a lot of channels that will take Twitch streams and dump them on YouTube, right? Or used to always do this and just turn them into content. If you really want to get that, you don't need to be able to clip to go get the video. You can use these tools online to download the VOD, make your own clip. So I don't think it's really going to stop anybody who really wants to get that video. And I also don't think it's that enticing of a feature to subscribe. Oh, I can make a clip now in two seconds instead of 5 minutes. Like, I don't think it's going to make a huge difference personally.
A good point here from user Abiel. I'm not versed in reading names quickly, but you probably know who you are now that I butchered your name. So that they feel like it could be a good feature for people trying to clip stuff out of context to use against the streamer they're clipping. So if you know, big streamers are often getting clipped by users and taken out of context because they miss the point at the beginning and they just highlight the, you know, the the part that where they're being sarcastic or something like that, you could then essentially stop them from doing that if they're not a subscriber. So yeah, maybe that is the use case. I mean, you'd think that these trolls would then just subscribe to your channel to be able to do it, but then at least you're making like $2.50 from them ruining your name, dragging it through mud and posting it onto live stream fails. But yeah, it probably is something like that. But usually when Twitch releases a new feature, it's because like 6 months ago there was a big problem and they've been working on it ever since. So I've got to admit, I'm struggling to see why they've done it, but more control to the streamer, I'm never going to say that's a bad thing.
This makes me sad because after talking about the whole hate raid situation, I feel like now we're going to get controls for that 6 months from now after the fallout happens of it. But hopefully they'll boost up the timeline of that a little bit, because this really does feel like a direct response to DMCA, just way after kind of the peak of the attention we've had so far.
Yeah, and still a bit of a band-aid, right? Like this, we've talked about how it's not a real solution because there's still people streaming with copyrighted music, and then even if you disable your VODs or clips, you've still technically broken copyright because you've live streamed it. So yeah, I think that's it for Twitch's new features. It did make me realize that there is like a little icon up here for creator updates where you can see all of the Twitch updates, which I never knew about until today. So now I can easily find all of the new Twitch updates. Anything else to say on that, or should we move on to the juiciest, riskiest topic that we've ever discussed on this podcast?
Yeah, I'll let you introduce that one because I know you love talking about those kind of topics.
We've debated whether or not to talk about this. I've changed the title down at the bottom. But I think there's a useful lesson to learn. So for podcast listeners that haven't seen it yet, but I'm sure you're aware because it was covered by pretty much every major news organization. And I'm not talking about streamer news. I'm talking about your BBCs of the world or CNN, whatever it is over in America that you guys watch. But OnlyFans, which has become a very popular website, kind of similar to Patreon, but really more towards sexually explicit content, has decided to ban said content. And this is obviously like 98% of their user base is using OnlyFans to, post sexually explicit content and then charge a fee for it. So it kind of works exactly the same as Patreon. It takes a much bigger chunk than Patreon. I think it's 20% on OnlyFans. But this is like the biggest surprise move ever. And it's come out that actually it's been a decision that's been forced upon them because the banks that they've been working with, I think MasterCard is the one that I've seen most consistently, they don't want to work with a platform that promotes this kind of material. So really interesting. And from a creator's point of view, maybe we have some people in chat that are creating content on OnlyFans, and hats off to them. I've never really actually been on the website, and you can believe me on that, Scout's honor. But the real lesson here, Ben, is this is just what happened to Mixer, but probably on a much, much larger scale. Like there was people making a lot more money on OnlyFans than they were making on Mixer. And if you put all of your eggs into one basket, you're at risk for things like this. Like people could not have predicted that this would have happened because OnlyFans knows that it's 99% of their user base is posting this kind of material. And that's what the website was known for. And then they've decided that they're going to put it into their terms of service that you can't any longer put this. And I've just seen another comment in chat, got mixed up between Twitch and chat then. It's not even Twitch chat, it's YouTube chat, saying that this happened to Tumblr as well. And a few years ago, Tumblr did the same, where they banned this kind of content and the platform basically died. So what can we learn from this, Ben, other than the fact that we shouldn't be putting all of our eggs into the OnlyFans basket? It's reminiscent of what a lot of creators are doing on Twitch, really, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, that's the biggest lesson for sure, is diversify, right? And make sure that you're taking multiple ways to monetize or just make your content in general, because not only monetization, but if you're making this content now, you need a whole new platform, not just an income strategy. So it's really interesting, and it does kind of remind me of Mixer a little bit. The other interesting piece to me is we talked about that this happened because of the banking partners, I believe like Visa, MasterCard, putting pressure on OnlyFans to do this. So OnlyFans really had two options, right? They could either try to keep getting away with this and eventually they would just not be able to use those providers and essentially not generate revenue from anyone, or they could take this approach and try and save the business but lose all this other content. And it's like a rock and a hard place situation for them. So, I mean, they kind of took the only option they had theoretically, if they really were kind of being held at gunpoint and told get this stuff off the platform. And so in terms of survival, I get it. But yeah, I mean, OnlyFans was basically synonymous with this kind of stuff at this point. And they're trying to push stuff like, I think, cooking and athletes and this kind of stuff now. And I just don't see this platform being used for cooking, like special premium content there. Maybe if someone looks that for that. But yeah, it's interesting. The other thing is that this happened on OnlyFans, but theoretically, like, this type of thing could happen on other platforms too, especially if you think about like Twitch's gambling whole situation or other things happening on platforms that are a bit risque. Like, if these banking partners just decide we don't want to be associated with that, we're not going to, if you guys don't change this, we're going to remove them from the platform. That's huge for any platform. So I think I don't think it'll happen with Twitch, but you never know. It's just kind of the first I've seen this situation happen for the banking side specifically on platform changes.
I think you've nailed it there. That's basically exactly what it is. As unrealistic as it seems for this to happen to Twitch, we know that Twitch isn't profitable for Amazon, and it's not even close to being a percentage point of Amazon's total earnings. So absolutely, this could be something that happens to Twitch. Amazon could decide, you know what, we're spending too much money on this. We're getting into all this legal trouble with DMCA. It's too much of a risk, and you know, we'll close down Twitch. I don't think that will happen, but I also didn't think that OnlyFans would shut out 99% of its user base. And they're saying that they want cooking channels and yoga channels and all those kind of things. But why would they not just create on Patreon, where the partner split is way better? Like I said, OnlyFans takes 20%. I think Patreon takes 5%. So Patreon is literally the platform that has been for this kind of content forever. OnlyFans then came out with basically sexually explicit content, and now they don't want that content anymore. So like, what happens to OnlyFans? Surely that platform just dies, and any creators that were using it for cooking or whatever would be on Patreon already.
Yeah, so I mean, I agree with you. Like, they, at this point, OnlyFans is just synonymous with that kind of content, and they're not really gonna be able to break into that type of thing with cooking or whatever other genres they want to break into. So I just feel like Patreon's probably going to take over and OnlyFans will slowly die, is my prediction, sadly. Hopefully the creators who've been on here can at least move to other platforms or find a different way to serve that type of content and adapt to that situation, because it was very sudden. To your point, I did not see this happening, because I mean, I don't think OnlyFans would have gotten to the point that it is without this kind of content, right? I don't think we'd be talking about OnlyFans if they didn't have this kind of content. So we'll kind of see what happens to the platform and the creators, but all in all, just really surprising, and hopefully it doesn't happen to other platforms in the same vein.
Yeah, well, talking about OnlyFans now banning that kind of content, there was another update from Twitch, actually, that we didn't quite mention, so let's talk about it now. Twitch has also added some restrictions on gambling. Now, maybe not as a lot of us thought they would, which was to have some kind of stance on gambling streams, but instead they are restricting the use of gambling related links. I'll zoom in here because it was in the creator updates. I'll read it out as well for the podcast listeners. To prevent harm and scams created by questionable gambling services that sponsor content on Twitch, we will prohibit sharing links and or referral codes to sites that offer slots, roulette or dice games. Actually, by the time that we're now recording and streaming this podcast, it's already in effect. But when they announced it, they sort of gave about 5 days warning for streamers to be able to remove these links from their content. But maybe a little bit interesting that Twitch has gone by the route of removing affiliate codes and links to websites rather than restricting people just streaming this kind of content. And I think we've talked a couple of times, Ben, about how I think that that's because there's such a fine line between gambling and almost gaming. Like, where do people put poker? Because poker is definitely a skill-based game, but it's also got that sort of casino aesthetic to it. And a lot of people will say that poker would be gambling. But then how different is poker to Hearthstone? You know, that all of a sudden, everybody will have different ethical lines that they will draw in the sand as to what is considered gambling and what is considered skill-based games for money, which a lot of esports titles are built on. So maybe this is Twitch's approach to it, that they actually think, okay, well, we can just massively cut the profitability for these gambling websites to actually work with streamers by making it against terms of service for them to be able to post any of their links or affiliate codes in chat or in panels below their chat.
Yeah, I mean, this is a start, but it's such a tough situation because, like you said, I mean, they could just get rid of all gambling and this type of content, but people, there's not going to be a great reaction to that probably because not all the content is necessarily bad. The issue is just that the content that has some sort of money behind it, or there's always the suspicion, like, are people getting paid and giving these special roles and you know, extra treatment, make it look really exciting. And then, you know, all these kids go try out gambling and it's not anything like that. So I think it's a really risky line to walk, but they're trying to, I guess, start with the creators and take away the incentive a little bit from actually having the creator link out to a platform. The problem is this still doesn't get rid of, like, if these places are paying the creators under the table to do this kind of thing. So I don't think it really solves the problem per se, but at least they've made some effort on it. I feel like we'll still be talking about gambling for a little while until we see some bigger measures on Twitch, especially with how popular it's been lately.
I'd love to actually dive into the terms of service here, because this seems, the way they've written this update anyway, seems to be talking about links and referral codes. But I wonder, you know, if it was clear that you were streaming on a certain site, but you didn't have any pop-ups or lower thirds or panels or things in chat about that site, but, you know, the logo of the site is in the top left corner, which has the URL in it, then, you know, that is still advertising that company. And, you know, impressionable viewers are still going to be seeing it and saying, oh, I can go across to this website, you know. So, yeah, I think this, for me, was always going to happen. And I couldn't believe how long it took for Twitch to have a stance on gambling related streams, because it was happening at the same time as the hot tub related stuff. And in my head, they're like two totally different things. Like, one ruins people's lives, and there's a lot of impressionable teenagers watching these big streamers that could be losing tons of money before they've even really started adult life. And the other was like people in hot tubs, but what, but the hot tub one got way more clickbait and people talking yep. about it. So I was surprised at how long this took. I think it's a good first step, and I'd be, you know, interested to see where Twitch continues to go with this, because it's still going to be prevalent on the platform. I think we've seen a couple of the big streamers maybe pull back a bit on the gambling related stuff. I knew that there was like a big stream that H3H3 did where they interviewed like some of the streamers that were doing it and trying to help them understand why it was problematic. So I feel like I've seen it being talked about less in the community, but it's still clearly a problem if Twitch is releasing updates for it.
Yeah, and I think it will continue to be a problem. To your point, I think some creators have stopped doing as much of this, but from what little I've seen of it, it's been pretty lucrative for people to actually stream this kind of thing. And I think one of the arguments from people who are doing it was they just want to do it for a little while and kind of get out, right, and make their buck and get out. But that's still, I mean, that's a really dangerous game to play. I think of the moral side of this. So we'll see what happens in the future here. I think it'll be around for a little while until hopefully there's not to what we just talked about, like an OnlyFans situation where you have card providers or other people kind of pressuring Twitch at some point to get rid of this kind of thing. But I don't know. This seems like if there's something on Twitch where that would happen, I think it'd be around the gambling side of things.
Yeah. And there's a good point as well from user Matthew in chat that says, if Twitch take a stance against gambling, then they should also remove any game that includes loot boxes too. But they won't. And that's a massive talking point over here in the UK. I know that we're not technically in the EU anymore, but like there's a lot of talk about loot boxes and whether they should be legal or not. So as always, we'll continue monitoring the situation. Let's end on a slightly lighter note. I published a new video last week, which was a tour of my studio. It's one of those videos where I don't really like making it, because in my head, it's like encouraging people that you need to have all of this gear to be a successful creator. And I'm a big advocate of get started with what you got. You know, you can absolutely start a YouTube channel with a phone nowadays. And like, if you look back at my earlier videos, it feels weird to encourage you to do that because they are so bad and cringy. And I don't know anything about framing or lighting myself or sound or anything like that. And I'm literally just starting with the camera that I owned, and like a $20 light that I bought on Amazon. But the video's done really well, as I kind of assumed it would, because people love looking at what gear YouTubers are using or streamers are using. And the video has done really well. So thanks to everybody that has watched that video. Ben, any comments, any things that I shouldn't be using that you've had terrible times with. I saw some comments again about people saying, you know, you've obviously been sponsored by this company to have this much stuff in your setup. And I just want to reiterate, like, I've not been paid to put any of these products on my setup whatsoever. Companies do send me stuff from time to time, but this video hopefully helps reiterate to people watching which gear I actually think is good, because it's what ends up on my desk and around my studio. Because yes, I get sent 25 different webcams a year, and the one that I use is the one that I like the best, or kind of similar with microphones or mic arms or anything like that. So yeah, it was a bit of a weird video to make. I don't usually like making them because I feel a bit braggy. I saw like one person added up the total cost of it, and I was like cringing that I'd spent some of that money on that much of a setup. But it's what people wanted to see. So I thought, I hadn't done one for 3 years, I should probably have created an update. What did you think?
Yeah, it was really cool. I mean, I'm guilty. I love seeing some of the setup tours too, just because I think we're all, as streamers, secretly gearheads for part of the streaming. I think your desktop, it looked like a little shallow to me, is the only thing I would say. I like a really deep desk with myself personally.
Interesting.
The other thing I was going to say, just on that topic, you mentioned you have a lot of stuff over the years you've gotten. Do you have, like, looking at your setup, do you have a favorite or like most critical piece of gear, I think specifically for streaming, that you'd look at?
Oh, good. That's a good question. I mean, with anything, there's going to be cheaper alternatives. I think there have been a few like game changers in that sort of market. I think when the Go XLR came out, which was like 4 years ago, it was the first time that a company had really thought about creators wanting professional audio. But now, like, I just like complain about the Go XLR because it's riddled with too many issues, and it's just far too fragile on my desk. Like, if I touch it in the wrong way, it just decides it's not going to work until I restart it. So I wouldn't say it's a favorite piece of gear, but I think there's a few bits and bobs like that. Kind of similar with the A50-100, which is the camera that I have mounted in the portrait fashion. That is like a fantastic piece of equipment, and it's heavily recommended all over YouTube as like the first DSLR camera that people should look to get and try and find it secondhand like I did. But it's also riddled with issues. Like, I wouldn't recommend it for anybody that actually wants to take a camera outside and create some like video content, because it overheats if you ever try and record to the SD card. It's good for a streaming camera because you're never recording to the SD card. It's just outputting over HDMI. But it's a rubbish camera if you ever want to record for more than like 3 minutes without it overheating. So what has been good is I've used all of this gear so much that I have pros and cons for all of it. And I think that's what people find relatable when they're watching a YouTube video, is when somebody can really say, I like this and I don't like this about a product, because then users know that it's hopefully not a biased review. But there's certainly gear that has lasted the test of time. The desk, I got that for my setup 3.5 years ago, and I've never needed to upgrade it or change it. It hasn't bowed at all. I still like it. It still works as a sit-stand desk. But just creating that video 3 years ago, I've since had... Ralph's had enough of the podcast talking. My dog clearly is whining in the background. I've had it for 3 years and it's never had any issues. But since creating that video, I've had probably 20 different standing desk companies reach out to me and try and offer me another desk. And I'm like, I don't need another desk. So that's a classic example of, you know, the products in this video aren't what I've necessarily been sent, or definitely not what I've ever been paid to have on my setup. It's just what I've found and what I've used, and hopefully that is useful for people. But I did decide to go full detail with it and include like the YouTube filming setup that I have behind me, because I also get a load of comments about like the lights in my backgrounds and what microphone I use for that kind of setup. And I know some people follow my channel not for the streaming stuff, but more for the content creation stuff. So I wanted to have that, both of those. And then like some people do just want to see like the storage units and see what bins you're using and things like that. So I tried to include as much as possible. The most painstaking task of all of this was going through and creating links to every single product that worked globally. So if people were clicking from Germany or from America, they would still link them to the right Amazon store. But between that and trying to hold a gimbal whilst talking and moving around my setup, it was quite an interesting video for me to make. And hopefully it's been useful. It's doing super well, as I presumed it would. So hopefully it goes on to beat the old video, which I think got like 1.1 million views. But Ben, I think people will want to see what your setup. I know that you're about to move, so maybe use that as an opportunity to, you know, do a little time lapse of you putting your new studio together and talk about the guitar. I've seen people in chat today talking about the guitars in the background of your setup. So there's clearly a lot of interest in people's setup. So
yeah, exactly. And I think it's because we're like, no one's ever done making their setup right. You're always making some change to it once you kind of start down the rabbit hole, and there's no perfect setup. So I think we're all kind of just fascinated to see what other people are doing and what you can steal from ideas, things like that. So I'll have to do one for myself too. And the guitars are not just for show. I do play the guitars too. I saw someone ask about that.
You'll have to do us a new intro, outro song for the podcast. I'll make you create something new every single week.
Yeah, I think it won't be time consuming at all.
I think that's everything that we have to talk about. So I think it's been really useful, a really interesting discussion. Like we said earlier, please do tag us in anything that you guys see and want us to talk about in the podcast. It's really useful. I've seen a few users doing that, asking for us specifically to talk about even the most minor of features that's been added to any of these platforms. And obviously, we're going to be following this whole discussion about Twitch Do Better and all the news around that over the coming weeks. And unless you've got anything else to talk about, Ben, I think that's probably going to wrap us up.
Yeah, that's it. Thank you guys for coming out and watching. And thanks for all the chat comments. There was a lot of good engagement this week. So really appreciate you guys' thoughts on everything we talked about.
Awesome. So thanks again for watching, everybody. If you're listening on the podcast, do drop by the live stream. It's every single Monday. We were an hour late this week, but usually we're at the time slot of 5 p.m. British time, 12 p.m. Eastern time. Is that what it's called? ET?
Yes.
And then yep. What would that be? Western time. You're going to have to help me. 7 a.m.?
9 a.m.
There you go. Yeah, America, I don't understand any of your time zones. You can do all that side, Ben. But yeah, do drop by the live stream because it's great being able to chat and read comments. And that's what really makes this podcast, I think, super interactive. We've loved making it a live show. But yeah, we'll see you next week at the usual time slot. And keep us tagged with any news that you see before then. Peace.
Thanks, guys.